it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point.
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus. Plus
minus, plus minus. Welcome to Warriors plus minus. I got my guy Tim Kawakami with me. This is Marcus Thompson, and I think I'm going to publicly announce that I am leaving the show unless I get a $28 million no-show.
I thought you had that already. I thought that was your deal.
I need to not do any work for it. So, TK, I need you to hook it up. What you got for me?
You got to carry it all. Got to carry it all. I got a $28 no-show deal. That's what my agent didn't quite negotiate.
I'll take $28,000. How about that?
That's good. I'll take that. It's a good deal. It is amazing, all the stuff with Kawhi Leonard. And I guess in some ways you're going, how could they get themselves in this mess over Kawhi Leonard, who doesn't play? But also, that's the perfect player to get this mess into because he's just been in the middle of so much contractual and physical controversy or questions or, you know, remember the stuff with the Clippers, like he was in a separate locker room and things like that. It's like, there's always something going on with him. And obviously I was attuned to some of the Clipper stuff because Jerry West was involved and I never talked to Jerry about it, but just that, like that conversation was out there that Uncle Dennis was asking for things. And Bruce Arthur reported that, you know, Toronto, this is what he was asked for, very similar to these things that he seems to have gotten maybe, or, you know, with an agreement with the Clippers, maybe not. It's a lot of stuff. And I just think it's Kawhi Leonard. Like, Jesus, what? And we talked about it a lot. Like, it's what a player to be involved in all this stuff. And essentially, they gave up what it took to get the Oklahoma City dynasty started to get him because they had to trade for Paul George and had to get Kawhi. What a weird player or a perfect player to be completely.
I mean, he is actually pretty good when he actually plays.
He's great when he plays, yeah. But when does he play?
Here's the question I have. Like, you know, obviously the people who would have to punish the Clippers would be the other owners. Right. Does the lack of punishment, if there isn't one, because Adam Silver spoke in his press conference, NBA Board of Governors meeting, said it would take a significant amount of evidence for the NBA to act. How is that not like a clarion sound for the fact that the other owners are like, you know, we kind of do it too. So it just feels like they're saying, we all know everybody's doing something. You're crazy for getting caught, but. Like, how are they not more insanely appalled by this if this isn't kind of common knowledge in BLG meetings?
I think some of them are, you know, and I think maybe the commissioner is the one who's saying, hey, you know, this
commissioner is speaking for them, though.
I guess some of them, not all of them. I think
like nobody comes out and takes this moment to take down Ballmer. They literally created a CBA rule to stop Ballmer, and now they're not saying anything. The only guy who speaks up is defending him.
Well, I don't think they're not allowed to, right? They're not allowed to.
Cuban literally went on. Yeah, he's not an owner anymore.
Not an owner, but no, they're by law not allowed to talk about other things, other owners like this. But yeah, you would think privately. I think some of them have let it be known privately that they're bothered by this. What does the salary cap mean if you can just circumvent it like this? Because there's cities where you cannot get a deal. Like, I mean, I can't believe you got the deal in the first place. $28 million is a lot of money anywhere, any city,
but if you can do
anytime.
LA
is the place to do it because you got Robert Downey on, you know, all that other stuff you got. Yeah, with that company, but you know, you can't do that in, you know, Houston, Texas, probably. You can't do that in Charlotte. You can't do that in Indianapolis. So I would think there are owners who are a little wary of this, but
If you're in those places, you don't want to do that, though. Like,
what do you mean you don't want
to do that? Small team, they're not trying to do that. They don't want to pay more.
Well, what they don't want, this is the whole weird thing, is he was making the max. He did take slightly less than max in his other extension, but there's so many weird little layers to this. I do think Silver today signaled that they're going to need absolute smoke and proof, and I don't know that it's out there. Steve Ballmer's very public approach to rebutting all this makes you feel like he knows there's nothing, you know, exactly with his name on it. Will be hard to nail him down.
Yeah, they won't have the smoke.
And then, I mean, this does sign off like, you know, other teams are going to be a lot less, you know, tactile. I have to, you know, hide this stuff if it's being done or things are being done similar that are allowed. We all know who's a Rakuten spokesman, but it's completely above board. But maybe it could be even more of that, right? Maybe there's some, you know, it's liberalizing what you can do there. And there is a team that
is happening, though. Yeah.
It's happening correctly, right? I mean, I don't know if they're violating things.
That's what they're saying. In their defense, we're doing what everybody else does.
Exactly. Right? It's not, if Steph Curry is representing Rakuten and Rakuten's pulling a lot of money in the Warriors, that's okay because the Warriors did not set that deal up. It's just a sponsor for the Warriors would naturally want to be aligned with Steph Curry.
I wonder if Steph was a free agent and they did it, would it cause more of a problem? Like, since Steph was already with the Warriors and you already know, does that take away? You know, but if Jimmy Butler pops up with a Rakuten deal, right?
Well, I mean, you know, it would certainly be this sort of suspicion, but it wouldn't be like
it's illegal. Above board.
Like, if the Warriors did not set it up, but you know, what did Andre Iguodala come to the Warriors for, Marcus? What did he come for?
You mean salary wise?
No.
Oh, no, Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, so is that illegal? No, that's not illegal, but that's. Like, you could say, well, I'm sure the Warriors said, we'll make sure that you can all the power players.
Yeah. So how much is it if you could be introduced to some or somebody?
They're at the games. They're at the games, and we know where that area was where they are. You know, you and I had to walk through all those guys, right?
If I'm doing it, that's literally part of my pitch. I know.
I think it was part of the pitch.
I know this IPO is coming, and I'm getting specific with it. Like,
yeah, you can't do that. But I mean, Marcus,
you can't be corrected. You can't be caught doing it, but you can do it.
Yeah, and they're all aware of it.
I'm not being convinced that Steve Ballmer's the only person doing this.
This obviously, though. I mean, probably this. I mean, Glenn Taylor's out of league, so I don't know if it's this obviously. I mean, like. Guys don't like spending that much. We know these billionaires, they don't. Like, you know, James Dolan. James Dolan wants to spend another $20 million to get, you know, whoever you get, you know, I don't know. My sense of it is they don't want to. So, and they're mad when someone does it. Maybe all these, this whole new CBA second apron is to get two people, right?
Yes.
Ballmer and Lakers. Yeah, because the Lakers don't do it, right? The Lakers don't never do this stuff. Yeah. Even though they're the ones would have Hollywood and all the agencies and all the stuff that they've got, the Lakers are too cheap to say, okay, you know what? We'll invest $20 million.
Well, extra. They were.
Yeah, now they got Mark Walter, and now who knows? But it's just this – there is a very fuzzy line on this one that may or may not be obviously crossed by the Clippers. We'll have to see. But – you know, the fact that we're talking about Warriors because we know the Warriors, but, you know, it's happened. You know, this sponsorship thing, the crazy thing was the number, right? I don't think Steph gets $7 million a year from any one company other than, you know, Under Armour. I mean, like $7 million a year, $28 million, even if you did something, that's a lot of money. I don't think Robert Downey Jr. was making that kind of money from this company. So that was the ridiculous part of it. That's the one that
Is it more ridiculous than his LLC being named KL2? Well,
KL2 Aspire. Aspire. Yeah, same name, similar name to the company.
I was just like, what? Like, I mean, that was just. Does any of this happen if it's a more cryptic name? No. You know, I scroll in the list and be like, KL2, wait, what?
Yeah, that all the whole thing is set up to raise suspicion if anybody was looking at it. And that's part of the defense, right? It's like, Who would, what dummy would do this? Steve Ballmer's not a dummy. So clearly it's just a stupid company messing around with, you know, who knows? I'm sure Kawhi was asking for stuff. It's pretty obvious he was asking for illegal stuff. Based on the reporting out of Toronto, is that was Uncle Dennis. And, you know, even when Ramona Shelburne talked to Ballmer last week, she asked him, like, you know,
and where they're requesting. He did not say no.
Oh, he knows the rules. They know the rules.
They know the rules, and we know the rules.
We had to tell them the rules when they asked for things that we could give them, but then we told them the rules, so they know the rules now.
Yeah, he did not say no. They didn't ask for illegal benefits. No, why would you think that?
Well, why would that have happened? But it's not illegal to ask for these things. It's illegal to give them. So I think it feels like it's going to be a long investigation, probably not digging up enough to meet the burden of proof that Adam Silver just presented. And you're going to see some teams' owners being very upset about it and saying, oh, my God, now we're going to see Mark Walter of the Lakers.
Their rules, we're going to see, yeah, though, see, TK. Rules.
Well, the John Hollinger piece in Your Athletic was very interesting that, you know, there's two levels of this. One is being investigated by, like, an arbitrator. And then they have to move that to the commissioner. And if they don't decide, you know, they kind of decide what level they think it is, that's a whole other bureaucracy there that is going to be very interesting. If you don't have the literal contract that was in the Timberwolves agreement with Joe Smith, that we will sign you to 3 one-year deals to get you to bird rights, and then we will give you this amount of a deal. That's the blatant, utter, proven violation. That was
matter of fact, the punishment was because you were so obvious.
Yeah, you're so dumb. You're so dumb, and you're gonna blow these picks anyway, so it doesn't really even matter. But and it was for Joe Smith, but it wasn't for Kevin Garnett.
Joe Smith.
It wasn't for, you know, it was for Joe Smith. However, I do think, you know, how are they ever gonna get Ballmer ever again? How are they ever gonna get an owner who wants to do this stuff? How are they going to want, like, whoever buys the Trailblazers, you know, say it's going to be a billionaire, it's going to be some, you know, how are they going to get Matt Ishbia? You know, how are they going to get any of these guys who are the money, you know, the real, like, I don't, there's some owners that are really rich that won't, I don't think the Edelmans, you know, whatever, will do that in Dallas. There's some owners that are just not of that type, but.
Like Psy, right?
I mean, there's going to be owners out there. Who knows? Maybe the new Celtics owner. I don't know. But what are you going to do to them? Like, you know, if they just say, oh, I don't know, ended up with $100 million deal. I mean, that's interesting. That's great for whoever. You know, that's great for Giannis. You know, and I didn't know that the San Antonio Spurs had this relationship with a sponsor, but that's all good. But what are you going to do about it? Like, they prove it. They're going to prove it. We're predicting. I think many people are now predicting that it's not going to be a major deal. But here's the other thing. What are you going to do? Like, you're going to take draft picks away from them, and they don't even have draft. You know, they have swaps with all these things. I don't know. Does that even matter that much to them? You're going to invalidate the Kawhi contract? I think they would love that. I actually think just Ballmer would go, yes, maybe this was a plot just so they could invalidate Kawhi's contract. I was laughing. Van Lathan was on with Bill Simmons. He's like, oh, do you think Kawhi gives a damn about any of this? He doesn't care. He's like, he's going to be the least bothered by it, least human being could ever be bothered by this. And he'll just go to another team and he'll plant a few trees and get a new $28 million deal, whatever it is. I was laughing with that one. Kawhi Leonard, this whole thing over Kawhi Leonard, it wasn't over Kevin Durant. It wasn't over, you know, whoever else you can, Jalen Brunson, whoever else you want to say. It was over Kawhi Leonard. It just had to be about him. It is so messy. But probably not going to lead to a whole lot other than the reactions to it. You know me, what are the reactions to
the reactions to the reaction?
And the reaction to the reaction. That's going to be the whole thing. And we'll read about it, I'm sure.
Like, it's a part of the league's rules that allow you to own a percentage in a company that endorses your athletes. It's literally written to the rules. So whatever is supposed to be, you know, salary cap, they have salary cap circumvention written into it. So on one hand, it's like, yeah, you probably don't want it, but hey, if they're not going to be serious about it, like, that's where you start getting serious.
Yeah,
they're trying to get a hard cap, but like you said, I think it's a percentage too. It's not even a cap number.
5%.
5% of
the company.
But 5% of a Fortune 500 company is not the same. You know what I'm saying? You just give the owners more money, more leverage to be able to do these type of things. So that's why I think in part of the owners are like, we're probably pissed that this got out.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh man, summer is almost over. School is here. Practically, the kids need some healthy meals and you need your energy to get back on this daily grind. That's where Home Chef has your back. Home Chef simplifies mealtime with over 35 tasty meals and 18 delightful extras each week, including kid-friendly options. So your little ones will actually enjoy the meal. Make dinner effortless, nutritious, and family approved, no matter how busy you get this time of year. Home Chef delivers fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Users of leading meal kits have rated Home Chef number one in quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipe ease. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients, quick 30-minute recipes, oven-ready options, microwave meals, or a dedicated family menu, Home Chef has everything you and your family need for hassle-free, delicious dinners. And when meal planning ends up on the back burner, just check out Home Chef's new 5-ingredient meals. They simplify prep with super easy recipe steps using 5 fresh, pre-portioned ingredients. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 50% off and free shipping for your first box plus free dessert for life. Go to homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 50% off your first box and free dessert for life. homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. There's just no way this stuff is.
Well, like, here's the one other thing. He did something when he went. Like, it'd be different. This was all involved with him leaving Toronto to come to Clippers, and he signed for less than the max.
Yeah,
but he signed for the max. Isn't cap circumvention as it is max circumvention, because they paid him. You know, if you really think about it, maybe this was a back end deal after the fact to reward him for coming to the Clippers. So maybe it was part of his original deal. So I slap on another $28 million on top of that agreement. That's what it feels like to me. It just happened later. It happened in conjunction with his next deal. But that's not the cap, essentially. That's just, we want to pay you more. So yes, there are max salaries, and that's important to the league. But was anyone else going to, like, do that? It's hard. It's a weird thing. I'm not sure how this is all going to play out, but it wasn't exactly cap circumvention. It was max salary circumvention. If it came down to, that's why he went to the Clippers. But they also had to get Paul George. They also, did Paul George not get a deal out of all this? Like, he's got a little, what's going on here, man? Like, why couldn't I get aspiration? Like, PG-13 aspiration. I mean, come on now.
Aspiration is crazy.
It's the whole thing's, I'm sure you could dig up other things that have happened around the league, certainly recently with the advent of these billionaires becoming involved. But just say these owners are cheaper than than most people think. They're cheaper than you think. Like, the thought of plowing $30 million into a company, man,
the threshold, though, is higher. Like, their idea of this is too much is higher than a previous generation. Yeah. Right? Like, $28 million. Imagine, like, for the Cohen era.
Are you kidding me? They would be suing people just for asking for that.
Yeah. We went nuts about Anton Jameson's $88 million, right? Like, that felt like, I do think their stomach for is a little bit higher, but you're right. They're not interested in raising their expenditures. Like, the entire point but I think that's the difference of people like Lacob and Ballmer who are just like, man, the way to get these exorbitant profits is to go crazy on these expenses. That's like, you know, that's why Joe was paying for a historic salary cap figure, right? It's like, this is how you do it. Like, you spare no expense and the profits return that way. I do think the modern, like some of these newer owners you see in Ishbia, same thing. Like, I don't know how real it is, but the talk is, I will spare no expense, right? Like, I do think their stomach is a little bit bigger, which is probably the clash with the old regime, who are like, this is not how we got here, right? Yeah. You know, well, obviously the Lakers got a new owner now, so
like a really, really, really rich,
really, really rich new owner. Yeah.
Signed Shohei Ohtani for $700 million.
All right, I know we said we won't mention him, but how do you think? I was thinking about JK. Like, this dude got $28 million to do nothing, and I can't get 25.
Yeah. How about
I guard Kawhi? Yeah. He's like, I guard him.
We'll see what if he's got Uncle Dennis involved with that one. We'll have to see.
That's not a good sign. Speaking of which, you saw the Giddy deal. It feels like Cam Thomas, the restricted free agency dam is kind of broken. And I don't think it's going to benefit.
I just think they're separate. People are asking me. First, he's never going to get 4 years like Giddy got. That's never happening. We know that. He knows that. There's just no way.
I don't think he wants it.
He doesn't want it. They're not giving it.
It would have to be like four and a crazy number.
Yeah. And
would four for a hundred do it?
Well, that's what Giddy got. And
what I'm saying.
I think he'd do that. I mean, why would you? You can't turn down $100 million. But this is not like $100 million versus 7.9 MT. I mean, it's meaningless to even try to overthink that one, but he's not getting it. And you know, people say, $25 million. The market has set. One, I think the Bulls value Giddy more than the Warriors value Kuminga. It's clear they're offered. They just signed him to a 4-year deal. The Warriors are offered nothing more than 1-year guarantee. And secondly, I think the numbers sort of the same, right? The Warriors are offering in the vicinity of at 1 year. So it's not like 25 is, oh my God, that changes the tips over everything. They're generally offering. They're saying they're offering them, 21.5 and 23 to get to 44 plus something, whatever. That's essentially in the same ballpark. That's not going to move because Josh Giddey's got 25. Who are they bidding against? They're bidding against him taking the qualifying offer. Well, that's been where they've been for the whole time. So I don't think Giddey changes that. I definitely don't, Cam Thomas taking the 7.9, I don't think changes the Kuminga, leverage.
But it does give you a little picture, though, because Cam Thomas is a reminder. He could sign it right now.
Oh, yeah.
He could sign the qualifying offer right now and just press the nuclear option button. So there's got to be some idea. I mean, it obviously tells the Warriors. I'm sure if you're Mike Dudley, you're like, you're not going to do it. Like, you're not going to do it, because if you would have done it, if you were going to do it, you would have done it. So at some point, do the Warriors really let this go to October 1?
Training camp starts, September 28th or something? Yeah. That would be wild.
So it's
and does he show up? Does he show up for training camp? He's not signed.
I mean, if you're making $8 million, you probably shouldn't start by losing money.
I don't know that he should. I mean, he's unsigned, right? So he probably won't. Now that I think about it, he does not have a contract. So probably wouldn't show up. There's no reason for him to show up. So, and even if they get it, he's going to take 3 days to get there, right? It's not going to be like he shows up the next day. So this could be, it could save a media day JK extravaganza, and maybe all sides wouldn't mind that. Like, it wouldn't be everybody there just to see what JK says. He's, taking the qualifying offer or wherever he's at. If he's unsigned, he's not there. And then everybody has to answer questions about him.
Are you not going to ask then if he's not there?
Steve Kerr is available. He will not be taking questions about Jonathan Kuminga. Next question.
First question.
What do you think about
that? I just think the fact that he hasn't signed yet means I'm still thinking there's a part of them that could say, we'll sweeten this deal, let's just end it. Because in the end, if they lose the salary slot, It hurts the Warriors more than it hurts Kuminga.
Yeah, it hurts them both. Just say
it hurts them both, but it hurts them more than it hurts Kuminga, I think. Because it impacts. Yeah. Like, Kuminga's trying to get the most money possible in minutes and all that. They're trying to win a championship in Steph Curry's last years, and now you lose a chip.
No question.
That helps
you get
the piece, right? Like,
no question. Well, the fact that tells them that they haven't done the "you better do this right now" or the offer's pulled. Like, they haven't.
Yeah, like, exactly. Right, they haven't signed Horford yet. They haven't signed Andy Miller.
Here's the number it has to be, because we've just signed all the rest of our guys. They haven't done that either. Yeah. So in my mind, it's like, one, if you're on the Kuminga side, you give them an ultimatum, but then you might have to sign the qualifying offer. That hasn't happened. Or two, on the Warriors, you give him the ultimatum saying, this is the number, you must sign, that's it.
Yeah, once he's got signed.
Neither one of them has done that. So, like, I'm waiting for when that deadline might be.
They're just both staring at each other with their eyes like this. Like,
we think you're going to flinch. We think you're going to flinch.
Blink first, yeah.
Well, I mean, I also think the Warriors are a little upset with the agent right now. I think you know that. That doesn't matter. That's kind of the agent's job, but I think the communication is not wonderful there, and that might be their fault. That might be the agent's fault, but I don't think I don't think they're running out to make sure that everything is, you know, copacetic on this relationship. They're not happy, and that's fine. That's, again, the agent's supposed to rep the player to get every single thing you can for him, is to fight for him. I just don't think that's a great relationship right now. And I don't think that's what's causing the delay. I just don't think there's
certainly not making them say, "Hey man, let's just fix this."
Yeah. Come on, guys. This is going to be fine. This is going to work out. And I think Joe would be the one to kind of poke this one. And he's, last time you and I saw him, he was saying, "No Warriors news." That's what he said to me. So I just don't think he's antsy about this either.
I still think Joe don't think he's going anywhere.
Joe certainly doesn't want him to get. I mean, we know that Joe doesn't want him.
And I do think, like, it's easier for them to come up a little bit or guarantee the second year or whatever than it is for Jonathan Kuminga to just eat this. Like, on the level of, like, who's going to hurt the most for blinking, like, it's going to hurt. Like, it's easier for the Warriors. I mean, if you end up paying your guy, that's not the worst thing in the world.
You're probably not even paying him the second year, right? That's what you keep saying. They're not even actually paying him the second year.
Yeah, you just you plan on trading him. So, like, if they pay their guy, I mean, look, the Bulls just did it. They just paid their guy probably more than what he would have gotten on the market. Because it's your guy. Like, you pay your guy. That's what you do. The Warriors could do that. And it won't. Nobody's going to be like, "Oh, you got hosed by Kuminga." Like, nobody's going to say that. But if Kuminga.
Yeah. 7-9.
Like, yeah. So it feels like they have the power to.
No, to make they've had the power. If that's a doable deal. I mean, is that. Do we know that Kuminga would take, you know, 2 years, let's say mostly guaranteed second year? Would he take that for. You know, let's say 35 of the 42 guaranteed.
Just say 2 for 50 guaranteed. Deal's done.
Yeah, I don't know they're going to go that high. Year. I don't think they're going that high.
It's not that high. You just said it. It's not that high. It's not that much more different. Well, but it'll make him feel better. I think there's a second apron element, though, too.
Yeah, that's why they want to keep it. They want to keep the first year the 21. Year that means you can only go side for the succession.
The raises are set. Yeah, so that. I mean, you could always, you know, move some pieces around, make another trade.
Yeah, they don't have a lot. They do not have a lot of money to move around. It's just
If you plan on trading him, like, you just have to at that point. Because Well, that's the thing with the apron. Can you remember how the tax is usually counted at the end of the year? It's where you are at the end of the year.
Yes.
Can you go over the apron during the year and then make a trade in February?
No, once you go over the apron, you are considered an apron.
But what if you make a trade and go under?
No, you can't. Once you go over, you cannot behave not like an apron team.
But if you make the trade, you can still make a trade. It's just harder.
Yes.
But if you can pull it off and get under the apron.
Yes, but you can't.
Before the end of the year, you don't.
No, but you can't. You can't act like a non-apron team if you're in the apron at the time, even if it gets you lower, even if you're at
the. But under so the then apron. You just don't. You just pay the tax that you are due. Yep. At the end of the year, not at the
highest. Exactly. This is not about tax. This apron, the really serious apron stuff apron, is is
the restriction.
What limits? Yeah, what it limits you. You know, the first apron doesn't limit you as much as the second apron. So let's put it that. But it still does, and it does put you in higher jeopardy of tax. That's part of the
story. So the point is, if they give Kuminga more and then put him in the second apron, it limits their ability to make moves.
Yeah, and it lowers what they're going to pay Horford, by the way, and De'Anthony Melton and GPT. Like, I think that's all part of a cascading part of this, or maybe what they could do later. You know, like they figure they could get into January and start doing stuff. But you know, they've made this decision. I would have thought by this point they just would have said, "Here's we're signing Horford, we're signing Melton." We're just going ahead and go ahead with it.
This is
the number.
Yeah.
And then your number now is not.
We left you to rest. You can have it.
Your number's not 21 now. It's 18. You know, this, like, well, I'm sorry. We let this go a long time. You know, there's just no sense in if we're not moving on this either side. Okay. It's now 18. You cannot take it. And then you take your qualifying offer. But again, they don't want to take the qualifying offer. It's all these things we've talked about. Here, do you think he could come back, play for a year for the Warriors? I think it's the same thing, too. Yeah, it will get awkward. Steve won't love the questions. JK will have a great game.
And
have some bad games. He'll do his thing. He'll kind of be operating in his own island and want to get his numbers. Steph and Draymond will praise him, and then all of a sudden it won't be great, and Guy Santos will be in the game. But I think he could do it. He's gone through 4 years of it.
Yeah.
He's not, as you said, he's not a bad guy at all. He's different kind of guy, but he's not a bad guy. Was he going to act out in a locker room with Steph, Draymond, Jimmy Butler, and Al Horford? No, that's not who he is. It might get, you know, he and Steve have an interesting relationship, but they've never had a blow up. One time they, like, Andre yelled at him, but not Steve, because Andre was getting in line. He was a little late to meetings, but like, it probably would be better if Steve and Kuminga had it a little more, like he and Draymond do. Like, you kind of get it out and you understand each other a little more. And I don't know that Steve and JK really have – they talk, but they have not had that emotional moment. And it's just kind of subtext. It's kind of underplayed. It's kind of underneath the radar. And I think they could do it another year. I mean, you know, they wouldn't want to do the whole year, but I think they could.
I definitely think. I think it's harder to do it with the 8, though.
And knowing he's gone.
Yeah,
if he signs a qualifying offer, he is not on the team next season. And that would be a different sort of situation. But he hasn't taken it because he doesn't want to. So what if he just takes a 21 and player and team option? Like, that would be a little awkward, but he could return to the team. He'd be under the contract for 2 years if the Warriors.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Exercise the team option. He's likely to be traded. I think that would not be an awkward position for anybody, but I do understand why he'd want more guaranteed money. Yeah. That part I definitely understand.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. It makes sense. It just, I don't get taking less money for the, like, I feel like you could do the same thing and get more money. Like, you're still gonna, like, I don't
just understand. To prevent them from training you. That's like, that's, but now people have argued with me about this. I still, you're only like doing
you
it.
Want
like,
oh, but
he loses his bird rights. Oh, no. Like, he's losing his bird rights now. He's not making $30 million next year. He's not. That's not happening. It's my supposition. It's theoretically possible. I will say this. John Kuminga, if he comes back to the Warriors, he's not making $30 million next year. He's not. It's just, that doesn't, to be, if he was a $30 million a year player or more, there would have been way more action on him this year in restricted free agent. I know it's tough, but there would have been action, and there just wasn't action. And because knowing that the Warriors want to trade him, knowing that this is how it's going to end up, and there still wasn't. So his market is about $25 million a year. If he signs for 21, then it maintains his $25 million a year possibilities. That part confuses me. You know, why the Warriors haven't just said, here's another 10 million confuses me, but this is part of a situation where the two sides just aren't clicking. There just isn't a back and forth to try to make sure it's all done right, because they're not sure what is right. It's unclear. It's moving where it should go, and we just sit here waiting for it to get resolved.
All right, one last thing to talk about before we get out of here. Steph was on, was it Good Morning America or Good Morning? Was it Today, anymore. The Today Show? Something this morning, but I think it's Today Show. Steph said something interesting, and I feel like this is him wading a bit. You know, he stays out of it, but him wading a bit into the GOAT conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He made the case that this is the most skilled era of basketball ever. Which is, if you know Steph, he's not going to come out and say,
I am the most.
Yeah. But he's essentially saying his era is the best era ever, right? As far as like skill goes. And, you know, look, his dad is from the Jordan era. He's never going to not have a soft spot for it. Like, he grew up in the locker rooms of that era. But I think Steph is out here saying, like, look, I'm in year 17. I'm still pretty good. And also, yeah, I'm doing this in the best era. And perhaps uniquely, this version of Steph is the one that's going to be needed this year, like for this task of, yeah, let me show y'all, like, I need to be in this GOAT conversation, right? Like, let me get out here and put this stuff into action, because it's just LeBron and Jordan, right? But I think there's a part of Steph that knows, you give me five, give me as many as Kobe. And, like, obviously Kobe gets in the conversation too, like, you know, depending on who's talking. But obviously the two people we'll talk about is Kobe and is LeBron and Jordan, and then Kobe third. I think Steph wants in this dialogue. I think he wants his name in there. I think he wants people to recognize, and he's starting to talk like legacy. Yeah. So Steph coming into the season with a bit of edge is definitely interesting.
Do the Warriors want that, though? Because he's going to want to play 36 minutes a game in that case. He's going to want
He just got to take the games numbers off. I think he's going to want the games off after, though.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Go 34, 36, and then rest. And 36, 36, and a rest.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think we're gradually beginning to hit, you know, it was kind of the point guard discussion, right? Who's better, him or Magic, greatest all time? And I think he's feeling that shift towards him. Just longevity is doing that, which is what it should. And he's probably ahead of Magic on a lot of people, most people's list, not, you know, moment for moment, but just that 17 years, the numbers
comprehensive.
He's putting up, you know, the numbers he's put up year after year after year, the four championships, obviously Magic had five, I believe, but like it just puts him in that conversation. It probably puts him a couple more years, he's ahead of Magic. And I think that has begun it. And we're just, he sees it. Like, you get past Magic and Bird, and that's kind of where he's moving.
But Steph already ahead of Magic. He'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. I mean, but that's, I just think that's where takes
I actually think Magic needs more of a voice in these conversations, by the way. I think Magic, people forget about Magic.
Magic has a voice. But it's just the
long. No, I mean, like, not like, I think when people mention greatest, like,
He was the best point guard in the league, in my opinion, until
Magic enough.
Yeah, until Steph. And if Magic had played five more years, who knows what could have happened. But and Bird, was the longevity is part of it too. I think Steph's moving, you know, he's moving into the Kobe Duncan situation. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you know, this is the eternal stuff. And he's feeling it, and it's incredible for him to be there, and it's incredible for the whole Warriors organization. And no, one more championship really might do it, right?
One more championship, really might. He knows this, that he smells it. Like,
22 was a crowning to get him, you know, top 12, right? Top 14. That guaranteed him he's in that group, and towards the top 10. And now, this one more championship, however unlikely anyone might feel about it, one more championship that would even, because it's unlikely, would be even more like, oh my God, this guy at age 37 is doing this, would put him, I think, with Duncan, with Kobe. You know, it's a very, very, you know, over Hakeem, even over a lot, you know, definitely over Shaq. He's already over Shaq. And he's feeling that, and that's what he should be feeling. He's feeling good. His body feels good. Now, he has to stay healthy. He did get hurt in the playoffs last year, but you know, feels really good about being with Jimmy. I think he feels good if they have Horford and De'Anthony Melton. He feels good about what they did at the end of last season. I think he feels good that Dunleavy is going to figure out this Kuminga thing. Now we're getting towards the bitter end of that, but I think he trusts Dunleavy. He trusts, you know, that he's not screwing up. You know, they're not burning his final years. He trusts Steve Kerr, Draymond, obviously. Like, he feels good about that. So, and he feels good about his body, and he played really well last year.
Yeah,
he was gonna, you know, they were gonna beat the Timberwolves if he stayed healthy.
Oh, and yeah, no, they certainly
he played bet. Great in that first quarter, right? He was great in that first quarter. That's one quarter. That doesn't mean it was gonna happen the whole series.
It's a wild thought, but yeah.
He was great. He was great in that first
quarter. People in the NBA do that all the time, right?
Yes, because like, of this
would have happened. Yeah,
yeah, like, then this and this.
There's a reason we love this stuff.
Like, yeah. Well, I think, you know, winning game 7 in Houston, you know, meant a lot to them. Now, kicking away the games before that, and you could have done it Chase Center. That's, you know, it might lead you to believe you're not the greatest team.
More days off, yeah.
They've done that before. But no, I think you know him. I mean, what do you think this means?
No, I think he's saying, like, I'm in there. Like, it's like, I think he sees the end, right? He could see it. It's visible. I don't think he thinks it's like near, like this year, but he could definitely see how and why he would stop playing, right? It's tangible, and he definitely feels like he's on his. All right, now this is for the name, the legacy, right? Like, once you got 22, he was set. But I definitely think he wants to taste it, and he can hear. You know, we all know Steph hears and sees everything. He can hear people. The way they talk about him, the story starting to come out about, you know, his trash talk and his moments and these, you know, the Jeff Teagues of the world now talking about him as the legend in the same way people talk about Kobe. And I also think this could just be how Steph gets himself ready for the season at 37. Yeah. Like, this is how he gets in the proper mindset, because once you've accomplished all that he's accomplished, like, you got to come with something, right? you got to find an extra edge. So, yeah, I was thinking like you, though, like, is this good or bad if Steph's coming in, like, with the kind of chip on the shoulder, right? Like, all right, like, you know, he's going to come to play now. Like, he's talking about, but just the way he framed it, you could tell he's making the case for himself, because if he's dominated, if he's got 4 championships in the most skilled era ever, like, that's him saying, yeah, you gotta mention me up there. And if he's saying that, he's only saying that because he feels good about how he's about to play.
Yep.
Not how he used to play, but yeah, and I'm gonna show you again, like, how good I am. Watch what's about to happen. That he's talking trash about the future. You know what I'm saying? That's his
future,
way of doing it.
Future trash.
If he didn't feel like he was gonna be good, he probably wouldn't say anything like that.
Yeah.
Because then he'd be worried about talking crazy and then going out there being bad.
Yeah.
And that's what Steph don't want ever, right? For you to say, you talked all that mess, you didn't say anything. So him saying that was like, oh, okay, Steph, I see you. All right. So he's ready. And they're putting out the videos. You saw the video of him running up the hill and all that. Like,
Well, here's what I was gonna say. You know what might be a little factor? You know, we've talked about, when are they doing these documentaries? When they're shooting these, I've heard they're shooting these documentaries. They're for later use, years down the road.
Yeah.
But this stuff's being done. Like, what we're seeing now is kind of the mini rollout of a lot of the things that they're shooting. And when he's retired or whenever this happens, that's when these documentaries are going to roll out, and they're filming them now. So he's probably talking about this, right? He's on camera probably talking about his legacy. And, you know,
this is the Last Dance thing, right? Where you got the old footage.
I think he's doing it, and whether it's the Warriors too, but it's certainly with his imprint on it. And I think you and I have been brought in, right? We've been brought in to talk about this stuff. I don't know when these things are going to come out, but this is on his mind. I'll put it like, whether it's front of mind because he's thinking about it, or whether people are asking him on camera beginning to, like, yeah, it's been this and it means this, and I'm here and I'd like to get over here, and here's how 22 felt, and we're doing this. And now, you know, he's seeing LeBron kind of, you know, finally age. You know, Lillard might, you know, who knows, like his contemporaries, you know, KD still great, but like who are his contemporaries who are still going, you know, and LeBron's a little bit older. I don't like who are like Chris Paul, I guess, but we all know, you know, that's coming to an end. So maybe he's thinking that way and he's seeing these great young players coming up, but he feels like he can play with them. And, you know, I can just see it, but when you were saying this, I was like, I bet you he's been on camera talking about this a few times, just in the moment, right? They're getting him just to get that, you know, on the record, get that tape of what he was feeling like right now when he was 36, and they're going like, and that might be kind of crystallizing in his mind. And it's a great motivation, you know, that this is what guys seek out. And this is okay. Think of it. This is, you get one more. This is it. You are top five. Yeah. You are top five. And that is unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable where he is, right? His incredible career in the Hall of Fame, in the Hall of Fame, in the Hall of Fame, in the Hall of Fame. But you go one more, you're not just inner circle. You are, you know.
And probably the loudest gold medal of all time.
Oh, that's true. That probably helped too. You know, that moment with Durant, you know, it would have been different if he's doing it and it's, you know, whatever, younger players, or he's doing it with Durant and LeBron on the floor. And like, go, you take it, Steph. You go ahead. I'm open now, but you take that shot.
The most insane gold medal, like, clincher of all time. So, yeah, he's definitely feeling himself. All right, we'll be back next week for Warriors Plus Minus. We probably won't have any JK news for you, because I don't think it's happening.
Hey, Marcus violated the JK rule.
I lasted one episode, and I was like, yeah, because Jonathan Kuminga is worth talking about.
JK, make us talk about you again. We'll do it again.
Let's
next
go,
week.
JK. All right. Like and subscribe. Leave us 5 stars. Share us on social media. And most of all, listen and listen and listen. Thank you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.